I'm going.
15th March 1946. It's only coming up to that. Is that it?
Yeah, that's
it. That's all right?
Yeah, that's good.
That's good?
Oh, wait, a little more.
All right. 15th March 1946. A visitor from Pune who has been here for the last 2 or 3 days asked some questions, and Bhagavan told him, Mukti or liberation is our nature. It is another name for us. Our wanting mukti is a very funny thing. It is like a man who is in the shade, voluntarily leaving the shade, going into the sun, feeling the severity of the heat there, making great efforts to get back into the shade, and then rejoicing. How sweet is the shade! I have after all reached the shade. We are all doing exactly the same. We are not different from the reality. We imagine we are different. That is, we create the bheda bhava, the feeling of difference, and then undergo great sadhana to get rid of the bheda bhava and realize the oneness. Why imagine or create bheda bhava and then destroy it? In the afternoon, Dr. Masalawala, does that mean he's a seller of masala? He sells masala? Wala means like they have chai wala. And this guy's selling masala, like, you know, that's the spicy, right? That can't be true, right, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's how he got his name? His traditional name, I guess. Dr. Masalawala. I'm not recording for the internet, you know. I'm making sure that this doesn't be qualified.
I understand.
I'm not going to change my style.
I understand your approach here.
I'm not going to change my style just because of that little black box. Dr. Masalawala placed in Bhagavan's hand a letter he had received from his friend, V.K. Ajgonkar. I think that's Maharashtrian, that name. A gentleman of about 35, a follower of Gyaneshwar Maharaj, who was Maharashtrian, who is said to have attained jnana in his 28th year. The letter said, "You call me Purna. Who is not Purna in this world?" Bhagavan agreed and continued in the vein in which he discoursed this morning and said, "We limit ourselves first, then seek to become the unlimited that we always are. All effort is only for giving up the notion that we are limited." The letter further said, "The first verse of the Ishvasya Upanishad says the world is Purna. It simply cannot be anything else, as its very existence is built on the Purna." Bhagavan approved of this also and said, "There is this typed letter, for instance. To see the world alone and not the Purna or self would be something like saying, 'I see the letters but not the paper.' While it is the existence of the paper that makes the existence of the letters possible." Dr. Masalawala said, "In the letter we see the paper, but we are able to see only the world, and we don't see God." Bhagavan replied, "What happens in sleep? Where did the world go then? Then you alone or the self alone existed." The letter also said, "Gyaneshwar Maharaj has said God will never forsake his bhakta who has undivided love for him." Bhagavan said, "Every saint, every book says so. I have been reading Ram Das's writings. Here too, so many verses, and Rama Chandra will never forsake his bhakta." So saying, Bhagavan read out a few of those verses. The letter went on to say, "Ramana Maharshi is an exponent of Ajata doctrine, of Advaita Vedanta. Of course, it is a bit difficult." Bhagavan remarked on this, Somebody has told him so. I do not teach only the Ajata doctrine. I approve of all schools. The Ajata means that nothing existed. There is no sadhaka, right? No sadhana, you know, no person, no individual.
No one wanting mukti.
Called Ajatavada, is it? Is it? The Ajata doctrine says nothing exists except the one reality. There is no birth, or he goes on to explain a little better here. There is no birth or death, no projection or drawing in, no sadaka, no mamukshu, no mukta, no bondage, no liberation. The one unity alone exists ever. To such as find it difficult to grasp this truth, and who ask, how can we ignore the solid world we see all around us? The dream experience is pointed out, and they are told, all that you see depends on the seer. Apart from the seer, there is no seen. And this is called the Drishti Srishti Vada, or the argument that one first creates out of his mind and then sees what his mind itself has created. To such as cannot grasp even this, who further argue, the dream experience is so short, while the world always exists, the dream experience was limited to me, but the world is felt and seen not only by me, but by so many. And we cannot call such a world non-existent. The argument called Srishti Drishti Vada is addressed, and they are told, God first created such and such a thing out of such and such an element, and then something else, and so forth. That alone will satisfy this class. Their mind is otherwise not satisfied, and they ask themselves, how can all geography, all maps, all sciences, stars, planets, and the rules governing or relating to them, and all knowledge be totally untrue? To such it is best to say, yes, God created all this, and so you see it. Dr. Masalawala said, but all these cannot be true. Only one doctrine can be true. Bhagavan said, all these are only to suit the capacity of the learner. The absolute can only be one. The letter further said, avyabhicharini bhakti is the only necessary thing. As Dr. Masalawala did not understand what avyabhicharini bhakti meant, Bhagavan explained that it only meant bhakti to God without any other thought occupying the mind. Bhagavan said, Ananya bhakti, ekagrata bhakti, all mean the same thing. The letter continued, in the mind two things do not exist at the same time, either God or samsara. Samsara is already there. That is to be reduced little by little, and God is to be entered in its stead. Bhagavan remarked on this, God is there already, not samsara. Only you do not see it on account of the samsara rubbish you have filled your mind with. Remove the rubbish and you will see God. If a room is filled with various articles, the space in the room has not vanished anywhere. To have space, we have not to create it, but only to remove the articles stocked in the room. Even so, God is there. If you turn the mind inward instead of outward on things, then you see the mind merges in the one unity which alone exists. Bhagavan also agreed with the writer when he said that to see God, Guru's grace is necessary, for which again, God's anugraha is necessary, which in its turn could be had only by upasana. The letter conveyed the writer's namaskar to Bhagavan. Thereupon Bhagavan said, the mind merging in its source, the one unity, is the only true namaskar. 16th March 1946. Ceylon Ramachandra sent me the 5 songs recently composed by him in Tamil on Bhagavan and his grace towards him, and saving him this time through all his serious illness, and sent word that I should read them before Bhagavan. So at about 10:30 a.m. I read out all the 5 songs, putting myself in Ramachandra's place and trying to render the songs with their full bhava. The previous day, 2 of these songs alone were ready and had been shown to Bhagavan by Mr. Vishwanath, and had already written them out in the stotra book. Bhagavan made a few corrections and divided the feet. Chair. I read the Tamil there. That one syllable word I can read. Properly. With the sandhi properly joined and not split as R had written. In the evening, Mr. V wrote down the remaining 3 verses also in the book of stotras kept in the hall. You know, Vishwanathan, he translated all of talks into Tamil. Have you seen that? They have it at Ramanashram, I'm sure. Yeah. 17th March 1946. Looking at the outgoing mail, Bhagavan remarked, Eknath's mother has passed away. Do you know? Mr. R. Narayana Iyer replied, yes. I saw in the mail an announcement to the effect. Bhagavan then remarked, she and her husband, the late Dr. Nanjunda Rao, came to me even when I was in Virupakshi Cave. After that, too, they came once or twice. The last time, they came here with one Chakarai Amal, a lady who had learned something and had a following of her own, and whom the doctor also regarded as a sort of guru. They were, I think, returning from a pilgrimage to Benares and other places. On the 18th of March 1946, Mr. Girdhari Lal, an old resident of Aurobindo Ashram, came here last evening and is staying at the ashramam. He asked Bhagavan this morning, it is said in the Puranas that the Kali Yuga consists of so many thousands of years, and that so much of it has passed, and that so much yet remains, etc. May I know when this Yuga is to end? Bhagavan said, I don't consider time real, so I take no interest in such matters. We know nothing of the past or the yugas which were in the past, nor do we know about the future, but we know the present exists. Let us know about it first, then all other doubts will cease. After a pause, he added, time and space always change, but there is something which is eternal and changeless. For example, the world and time, past or future, nothing exists for us during sleep, but we exist. Let us try to find out that which is changeless and which always exists. How will it benefit us to know that the Kali Yuga started in such and such a year and that it would end in so many years after now? Girdhari Lal, I know, from the standpoint of one whose level of consciousness is beyond time and space, such questions are useless. But to us, struggling souls, it may be important in this way. It is said that in the previous yugas, for example, Satya Yuga, man had not fallen to the low level in which he now is in, this Kali Yuga, and that it was much easier for him then to obtain liberation than now. Bhagavan, on the other hand, it is said it is much easier to secure salvation in this yuga than in the Satya Yuga. Some days or hours of penance in this yuga would secure what several years of penance alone could have secured in those yugas. That is what the books say. Further, there is nothing to attain and no time within which to attain. You are always that, You have not got to attain anything. You have only to give up thinking you are limited. To give up thinking you are this upadi, or body. Gir dhari lal. Then, why do these Puranas give the exact duration of each yuga in so many years? Bhagavan, there might be an allegorical meaning in the number of years mentioned for each yuga, or the immensity of the periods of time assigned to each yuga may be a mere device to draw man's attention to the fact that, though he should live up to his full span of 100 years, his life would be such a trifling, insignificant fraction in the entire life of the universe, and that he should therefore take a proper view of his own humble place in the entire scheme and not go about with a swollen head, deeming himself as of great importance, instead of saying, "What is man's life compared to eternity?" They have taught him to consider how short his span is. Further, it is said, there is a regular cycle of such yugas, and who knows how many such cycles have come and gone. Again, each yuga is subdivided into 4 yugas. There is no end to all such calculations, and different schools have their theory as to when the present Kali Yuga is to end, when time itself does not exist, as for instance in sleep. What is the use of bothering oneself with all such questions? 20th March 1946 morning. After I left the dining hall at about 11:15 a.m., Bhagavan sent for me there. I was surprised, because it is very unusual for him to send for me. When I went, he told me, "Poor Mr. Virabdhab Raya. He was once deputy collector at Chittor and was last at Baleri, is no more." When the letter was shown to me this morning, I looked for you in the hall to tell you, but you were not there. The son has written. It seems there was a minor operation. We don't know what it was. Again in the afternoon, Bhagavan asked me if I was not writing to Mr. V's son. I replied, "The son may not even remember me. They may not expect any letter from me." I was just then reading Dialogues from the Upanishads by Swami Sivananda Saraswati, and almost the first story there is that of Nachiketas. So I reminded Bhagavan that soon after Mr. V came to Bhagavan for the first time from Chittor, he wrote an article comparing Bhagavan to Nachiketas. He had a notion that Bhagavan was an incarnation of Nachiketas. Bhagavan said, "Yes, I remember the article." He wrote 1 or 2 more articles also besides that one. In the evening, some gentlemen came and recited Samaveda before Bhagavan. It was very pleasant and moving to hear. Have you heard it recited, Samaveda? It's very melodious. It's totally different than the other Vedas.
You heard some recitations?
Yeah, the ashram, someone was doing it. They sing it sort of, and it's melodious. It's not so much like the chanting. 21st, probably go online, you know, look up
some of it. I heard some excerpts of it. I know what you mean by
yeah. March 1946. Balaram came across a Sanskrit poem in which the hill called Anaimalai, Elephant Hill, near Madurai, is mentioned. He mentioned it to Bhagavan, and Bhagavan said, "Yes, there is such a hill near Madurai. From a distance, it looks like a big elephant lying down." I have seen it. Yeah. The word Anaimalai reminded Bhagavan of this the first stanza in Tirugyana Sambandar songs, in which Anai Malai is referred to, and Bhagavan quoted the song. It begins, Manin Nor Riuri. Tamil, I'm reading here. No one knows what it means, and after hearing me, they can't figure it out either. And Bhagavan explained, she's Tamil. Parents, both her parents are Tamil. She knows exactly, right? But your mother knows some Tamil, right?
Yeah, she's
Anil learned it from his mother. Right? You can read it, right, Anil?
No, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
He can read it, but he doesn't know what it means.
Oh, that's not important.
Yeah. I know that means
all to him. The Madurai king, Pandyan, was inclined towards Jainism. His wife was a daughter of the Chola king and was attached to Shaivism. When she heard of the great Saint Gyanasambandar and his doings and of his camping at Vaidaranyam, the Pandyan queen, with the help of a minister who was also attached to Shaivism, sent an invitation to the saint to visit Madurai and convert the Pandya king to Shaivism. The saint came accordingly. But when the queen saw he was a mere boy of about 10 or even less, she had serious misgivings whether he could be a match for all the big Jain leaders surrounding the king, and whether by inviting this child she had put him in jeopardy. When the saint noticed this, he sang these songs addressed to the queen and assuring her, I am not in any way inferior to these Jains. The Lord is within me. Don't therefore be afraid. The songs which follow mention the names of Jain leaders, referring to them in contempt and stating, I am not inferior to all these, as the Lord is within me. It is amusing to read those songs. Bhagavan added, this was after the saint came to Madurai. When the invitation reached Vaidaranyam and Gyanasambandar wanted to start from Madurai, Appar, who was with Sambandar, said, do not start today. The day is not auspicious for you. They, the Jains, are terrible and powerful persons. Thereupon, Gyanasambandar sang the Kolaru Partikam, beginning in which again he says, as the Lord is within me in my heart, no days, no planets can affect me adversely, and every day of the week is equally auspicious. In the afternoon, I brought the Tevaram for reference and picked out the above two songs, and Bhagavan read them, a few of them aloud. In the Madurai poem, Bhagavan referred to the last stanza and said, when I explained the first stanza in the morning, I gave the meaning as because the Lord is within me. Though the words only mean because there is the Lord, I was wondering whether I was justified in my interpretation. I find in the last stanza it is clearly mentioned by the saint himself that what he meant was because the Lord is within me. Besides, the same is clear from the whole of the Kolaru Partikam. Look at the last verse in the Madurai Decade. With what authority he sings, no harm can approach those who sing these songs of the king of Shiali and the master of Tamil. Similarly, in the last songs, he says, by my order, those who read these shall be saved. This evening also, Samaveda was recited. This to let you know, this whole conversation has been recorded on a Zoom recorder that Anil, this whole conversation, and it'll be uploaded to the internet under audiobooks at arunachala.org.